The Office of Management and Budget has yet to release its guidance on implementing the last procurement reform bill to become law, but now another bill has already entered the pipeline. This one's called the Agile Acquisition to Retain Technological Edge Act. The House Armed Services Committee Chairman Mac Thornberry recently introduced it as a discussion draft. Contractors are weighing in. One of them, Stan Soloway, is president and CEO of the Professional Services Council. He joins me now to discuss some of the changes the council is recommending. Stan, good morning.
Good morning, Tom. How are you?
All right. So FITARA is not even in place. Do we need this next acquisition reform bill at all?
Yeah, well, it's a great point. I think there's a lot going on in the system, and some people say, why don't we just stop and put some things in effect and see how it works. But I think, actually, Mr. Thornberry is correct that there's a lot more that needs to be done. FITARA is a good piece of legislation, but I think at the time it passed, we all agreed there was still a lot more work to be done. And even after looking at Mr. Thornberry's discussion draft, in fact, he himself says this is just another first step. There's a lot of changes that are needed. I don't think either FITARA or this discussion draft are earth-shattering, but they're both stepping stones to hopefully a better process.
Because FITARA does encourage use of agile development in some of the language in there, and then this new bill is called the Agile Acquisition. So what's the difference?
Well, if you look at Mr. Thornberry's bill, it's actually much more focused and intentionally so at this point on major weapon systems. And I think when they talk about agile acquisition in terms of a weapon system or in anything other than IT, it's really a different term. It literally is about agility. It's about flexibility. It's about innovation. Whereas agile acquisition in the technology space obviously has a whole different meaning. So I think we don't want to confuse the two, although they're using the term. It's getting a little bit overused. I think the fellow who invented the term agile IT has written saying he wants people to stop using the term because everybody uses it in the wrong way. But the fact is that there are actually two different focal points of these bills.
Yeah, so I guess there's a lot of bang to be had for the buck in weapons systems procurement. What would Thornberry's bill, what's it intended to do in the first place?
I didn't know you were allowed to make such puns at 6:25 in the morning.
That's why I'm on the morning show.
Well, Mr. Thornberry's bill is really geared towards trying to figure out how DOD can both shorten weapon system development time and access the best new technologies. And I think as far as it goes, it's a good start. And he himself has said this is just a discussion draft, as you pointed out. And even if this is the bulk of what gets done this year, there's another round yet to come next year. I think that from our perspective, the bill is notable for what it doesn't include as for what it does. One of the things it does not deal with is the broad scope of technology and services acquisition questions that the department still is trying to face, which are not only around things like sustainment and base operating support, but which actually have direct relationship to sort of security requirements, whether it's cyber and analytics and so forth. So there's a whole bunch of work to be done there. And the second thing is that there's a little bit of concern on our part about some provisions in his bill that would create a new office at the Department of Defense that would be responsible for making all of the determinations as to what is actually commercial in terms of an item or service under the law versus what is government unique. There's a potential for that to actually be helpful in the sense that it might create some consistency in the system. But there's also some concern that given the fact that there are tens of thousands of these determinations every year, we may be creating another bureaucratic process that could actually bollocks the system up rather than make it smoother. So it's a little bit of good, a little bit of a challenge, but again, it's just a discussion draft.
And when you talk about services in relation to military platforms, really, I guess it's safe to say that in terms of life cycle cost, services are probably as big a component as the acquisition of the original piece of hardware itself.
Sure. And the services are well over 50% of what DOD buys. And I think one of the things, and we've been open about this, we were a little disappointed that Better Buying Power, which is the department's own acquisition reform initiative, in its latest iteration, really doesn't get into that area because it is so central, not only for sustaining weapon systems, but we're moving into an environment where services is actually taking on a much broader meaning than it ever has before. And when you look at the role of technology in the national security space especially, there's actual direct correlation with the ability to protect or both offensive and defensive capabilities using technology. So I think there's a lot more there.
And in your reading of the bill, do you think it's apparent that Mr. Thornberry sought the input of the acquisition people at the Pentagon or the program people or the military leadership?
Look, I think one of the things Mr. Thornberry and his team have done exceptionally well is take input from across the board. And we've had several meetings with him personally as well as additionally with his staff. And I know that's true for just about all the stakeholders in the process, industry and government and elsewhere, the think tanks. He's been very open and really eagerly sought input from folks. And I think that the conversation has been about as robust as any we've seen on these kinds of issues for a long time.
We're speaking with Stan Soloway. He's president and CEO of the Professional Services Council. And one of the sticking points that you mention at great length in the letter to Mr. Thornberry is the procurement of commercial items. And something that GSA is working on in an entirely different realm is the problem or the challenge of acquiring commercial items that may go along with a service contract. Say it's a building services contract and you need a new motor or something for a furnace, that type of thing. That happens a lot in military services. What is your thinking about that whole issue?
Well, I think that, first of all, when we think about commercial items and services, we have to think very broadly because there's an awful lot, again, technology and other kinds of services that are procured using commercial items authorities, the special authorities under law. And the reason we raised it in the letter with Mr. Thornberry, and we've raised it also in response to some things going on at DOD and, frankly, in response to some things going on at GSA, is that there seem to be two tracks underway, and they're in conflict. One is we want to be more commercial. We want more innovation. We want to attract more commercial capabilities, which is what everybody talks about. It's in the bill. GSA talks about it. DOD talks about it. But behind the scenes, there is a slow but sure rising tide within the system pushing back against some of the flexibilities and authorities that were created in the 90s that are actually going to make it more difficult to acquire commercial items and services. It may cause some companies in the system, if these changes that are being sought take place, to actually limit, if not exit, their role in the market. So I think that there is a whole set of issues around how the government is going to acquire and utilize commercial items and services that we have to be very, very careful about.
I mean, the services connected to, say, an aircraft, are they really that different from the same services that would be used on an airliner?
Well, I mean, there's that question. There's also the question you have to, you know, you can't separate it out from asking the question, and we've asked this at GSA as to why, and for instance, one of their largest procurements, they're giving zero credit to companies that have commercial past performance, or why DOD is actually asking Congress to change the definition of a commercial item or service under law. I mean, there's a real schizophrenia here about this issue. And, you know, Megan Smith gave the CTO gave a speech last week or the week before where she talked about we need tech to show up. Well, tech and others can't show up, and some may have to leave if we don't get this commercial items issue right. So it's everything from supportive weapon systems, but all the way through the system.
Now, clearly, weapon systems are, many of them are have no relation whatsoever to what is in the commercial world. But on the other hand, a lot of commercial platforms are adapted to military use. I'm thinking of the tanker, for example,
sure.
And lots of vehicles.
And there are a lot of components of weapon systems that are commercial.
Yeah.
You know, so the system itself may not be, and certainly the payload, and there's a lot of military unique aspects to it, but many components of the system may be very commercial, and that's where some of a lot of the debate ends up taking place. But then you also can't separate it from the whole IT space. And as you know well from the 90s when the changes were made, and look at the doors that opened to Salesforce and Google and Monster and Amazon and everybody else.
And so how do you deal with something like, I hate to bring this up again, but the F-35, where the big holdup, well, there's a lot of holdups, but one of the big holdups is the software on it, and software development is software development, regardless of what the software is going to do.
Well, I think, you know, there are developmental issues with every major system. There are complexities, and I mean, you talk about the gazillion lines of code that are involved and so forth, and I'm certainly not an expert on that side of it. But I think that the key that we've looked at, and this has been an issue, as you well know, for two decades now, is you've got to make certain, we collectively have got to make certain that the government can and does have full access to capabilities, both military, unique, and commercial, because the combination of those capabilities is what's going to make for the best national defense. And so you look at an F-35, I don't know specifically what components of the F-35 might be commercial or not, or how it directly might relate to this debate, but clearly software and technology is the core of weapon systems. And I remember when General Hoss Cartwright was the vice chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, just a few years ago, and he used to say the future of weapon systems is not about the platform. It's about the technology inside it, and then we'll decide what to wrap around it for delivery.
Yeah, I think maybe the tires in the F-35 might be commercial. And also, you mentioned statements of objectives as a superior alternative to statements of
right.
work. Can you see that ever actually happening and taking root?
Well, you know, it's something we've been pushing collectively, again, both in a lot of folks inside government, outside government, pushing very hard. You know, that for those who aren't familiar, statement of objective basically says, here's what I want. You tell me how the best ways to get there, and you give people the full kind of whiteboard, a clean sheet of paper, if you will, to propose, as opposed to a statement of work, which pretty much tells you how you want the work done. And clearly, if you have a statement of objectives process, you get much more variety, much more creativity and innovation. You know, we're seeing it periodically here and there, but it's something you just got to keep pushing on and whether it actually take hold. I'm hopeful that at some point it'll take more hold, as particularly in the more complex requirements government has. And but you got to keep pushing it.
And so, what's your sense of when this bill might come out of the oven as a finished work to be debated?
Well, there'll be some elements of it in the defense authorization bill this spring. I mean, that's clearly Mr. Thornberry's intent. I don't know exactly what that those will look like. There are still, as I said, a lot of conversations going on. They've been very open and transparent with everybody. And then, of course, the Senate will weigh in. But I don't think there's anything heavily controversial in Mr. Thornberry's first discussion draft. You know, a few things that some of us have disagreed with, and there was some clarifications needed. So I think you'll see something this spring, and then another iteration, perhaps even more comprehensive next year.
Stan Soloway is president and CEO of the Professional Services Council. As always, thanks so much for joining me.
My pleasure, Tom. Have a good day.